He's got the toys. He's got showmanship. And he's got sex appeal. Ladies and gentlemen, from the great Southwest, here's the guru of gadgets, the dapper and dashing Don Bain, the Gadget Professor.
Gadget Professor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gadget Professor. My name is Don Bain, and of course, I am the Gadget Professor. Welcome, everybody. We have an excellent show for you today, something I've been trying and meaning to do for about 2 years, and today I finally did it. We are going to do a show on geocaching, and if you don't know what geocaching is, stay tuned. It's really a fabulous, interesting hobby, and I think you'll all enjoy it. Even if you don't even know what it is, I think you'll enjoy this very much. So I have a guest online on Skype, and I don't want to hold him there forever, so I'm going to run through some of the basics about the Gadget Professor show. Got a couple things I want to show you in terms of software apps and things like that, and then we're going to go right into our geocaching expert. So let's get right with it. Of course, you can tune into the Gadget Professor every Thursday night. We come up with a new show from Scottsdale, Arizona. I release the show every Thursday evening between 7 and 10 o'clock Thursday evening. And if you subscribe to the show notes, which is totally free, you will get that in your in-basket, and there's no cost for that. Just go to thegadgetprofessor.com. Scroll down, you'll see a newsletter button there right here. Click that, put your email address in, boom, you will be on our email address. I only send out the show notes. No one buys it, no one sells it, no one sees it. You just get the show notes, which is the URLs of everything we talked about. If you'd like to see me on Facebook, just go to Facebook.com/TheGadgetProfessor. I release my episodes on Facebook as well as answer questions and chit-chat with people at their will. And of course, you can email me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at TheGadgetProfessor@gmail.com, TheGadgetProfessor@gmail.com. And if you really are into it and you want to follow me on Twitter, it would be @GadgetProfessor. And if you're going to follow me on Twitter, you want to check out our Rebel Mouse page. The Rebel Mouse page is a really cool page. If you scroll down it, you will see that every single thing that we tweet, and there's probably 100 tweets a day, every new gadget, every new invention that's coming to market, within hours of it being posted, it appears on our Rebel Mouse page. That thing constantly changes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Probably every 10 minutes the page totally changes. So I hope you'll enjoy our Rebel Mouse page. Now, let's get started with some of the news of the day. This is a huge one. The feds shut down the massive Game Over Zeus botnet. And you recall a couple weeks ago we talked about that worm that got onto your computer that held your computer at ransom that said you have to pay X amount of bucks within an hour or 2 hours or 24 hours, and if you don't pay it, boom, they wipe your computer out. That was a real virus. That was no joke. Here's a tremendous article on it. They finally shut them down. And who was it? The Department of Homeland Security, along with the FBI and the Department of Justice, have made sweeping moves to shut down the systems of Game Over Zeus botnet. Game Over, which has infected hundreds of thousands of computers around the globe, allowed cyber criminals to gain access to bank accounts, specifically pulling account numbers and accessing credentials. And it goes on to tell you a lot more. Very interesting read. Check it out, but they're shut down. And if you read the article, it says don't get too excited because they expect within 2 weeks that there'll be 20 or 30 more bots that will do the same thing that they'll have to examine and try to shut down. So it's crazy out there. It's crazy. All right, switching gears. You having a good time so far? Okay, switching gears, we now are going to talk about VideoShop. This is a cool video editor, and it's for the iOS. You can get it on iTunes. It's free, and what this will do is a VideoShop is an easy video editor with fast editing tools, filters, and many other effects to personalize your videos. You can add music, sound effects, and voiceovers on your video. That's pretty cool to do for free, and it does a nice job. You can create slow motion or fast motion videos, or even reverse videos. So you'll want to check this out. It's not totally free. It's $1.99, but hey, it's almost free. $1.99, come on. For what it does, it's probably worth the 50, 60 bucks. So definitely check that out. Another app that we have for you this week is called Auto Runs for Windows. If you have a Windows machine, a desktop machine, and you're noticing that it takes forever to start up, Well, one of the problems may be is that you have so many apps and so much software on there that starting up before the actual machine can boot into its what called user mode, that you're waiting 5 minutes and it's really getting to be a pain. So if you load, this app is totally free. Auto runs for Windows, it will actually show you what starts up, and you'll see and you'll know right off the bat that you don't need Adobe to start up, or you don't need this to start up, and you just check them off, and when you shut it down and reboot, all those things that are starting up are now eliminated and will only start up when you need them, so henceforth your machine will boot quicker. So definitely check that out. Now, a lot of people are using their GPSs, and they're using Google Maps, and it works great for directions, but I think you should check out, again, iTunes, and I think it's available on Android also, but it's MapQuest. They've upgraded their whole operational system, if you will, and MapQuest will now do maps, GPS, voice navigation, and traffic. So you can just say, hey, I want to go to Grandma's house, and put the address in, and boom, it will take you there. So this is a really cool app, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's version 4.3. Here's some screenshots, if you will. It's very easy to operate, and I like it. Another app that's similar to that is called Waze, W-A-Z-E. That's another very cool app. But I'll tell you, I just used this for the first time in about a year yesterday, and I was very impressed with MapQuest app. So check that out. Here's another one that I also like. It's called Beat the Traffic. This is totally free, and it basically will take you wherever you want to go on your trip. You put in your search for a city or address. It also allows you to scroll, which is nice. And again, this will load up on your smartphone, and it does a great job of routing you, and it also knows through traffic alerts where the traffic is. So if you're in New York City and you're trying to go over or go under, I guess, the Holland Tunnel, go through that, and it's backed up, it may send you to somewhere else. So definitely check this out. It's a very cool website. It's called Beat the Traffic, and it will be in the show notes. Now we have another cool app for you before we get on to our geocaching expert, if you will. It's called Thermo. Do you ever want a thermometer on your phone? I have wanted that, and now there's a free app that's available both on the Android and the iTunes, and it's called Thermo, T-H-E-R-M-O, and it's basically a thermometer, and it's free, and you can load it up, and it will do a Celsius or Fahrenheit, and it's also available in the Google Store called Thermo, the pocket thermometer, so whatever type of cell phone you have, smartphone you have, this app will work for you. And now, what an action-packed show we have this week, really, really. This is called LiveStation. I think you're going to like this. This is a free app, and basically LiveStation brings together live news channels from around the world to give you a truly all sides of the story view. You can watch most news channels for free, or if you want to spend a little bit of money, you can go to the premium service and you get all kinds of things for that. But there are a number of stations available for free. And if you're interested in a news junkie, they have regional, politics, special interest, new channels, on-demand, and radio. So it is free. If you want to spend money, again, you can go to their premium event, if you will, their premium service, and that will give you more. But you should check this out. It's called LiveStation Channels, and this will be in the show notes. And then moving right along, and this will be our last one because I really want to get into our guest today. This is called Proton Mail, and I bring it to you for a reason. This is supposedly the only app available for email on the web, end-to-end encrypted email. It's based in Switzerland, and supposedly not even the NSA can get into this. It's totally encrypted. So it's Swiss-based. It's protected by the Swiss privacy laws. There's zero access. No one can read the data, including the people who make Proton Mail. No one can read it, all right? It's encryption without the headache. It's automatically done. It will be forever free, available to everyone. It's fully anonymous. They do not log your IP address or require any personal information to sign up. We accept Bitcoin and cash for payments for paid accounts to ensure every paid account user has complete privacy, and it's also cross-platform, and you can read up about it They have a ton of features, and you can check it out. But it's a very interesting product if you need something like that. So that will kind of wrap it up for our freebies today and our information. And now what we're going to talk about is just a fascinating hobby, and it's called geocaching. And this page is geocaching.com, and this is literally the home site for you to get into a fascinating hobby. Rather than me telling you all about geocaching, which I know very little except it's really cool, I decided to bring in an expert, and let's now introduce the man of the hour, Mr. Andrew Smith. Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Hey, Don. How you doing? Welcome from the GeoSnippet Studios here in Raleigh, North Kakalaki.
It's a pleasure, and I have to tell you, folks, I called Andy. I haven't spoken to him in a long while. I called him a couple hours ago and said, hey, would you be on my show tonight? And Andy's such a sweetheart. He goes, absolutely. And here he is a couple hours later. So thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime to get in front of the camera and let people know about geocaching, I am there.
That's great. Well, Andy, what I want you to do is I'm going to be quiet, which is an unusual thing. And what I'm actually going to do is let you take over. I'd like you to explain to our audience, all the Gadget Professor fans out there all over the world, what geocaching is, because it's one of the coolest hobbies. And I find it's I've never done it, but I want to do it, and it's so interesting. It's the coolest thing, and believe it or not, the Gadget Professor is going to be quiet, and it's all yours.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You know, geocaching is an amazing activity, and you know, for something that originally started out back in about 2000 as a secretive game, there's a whole lot of people out there that know about it and are getting interested into it. In a short form, geocaching is basically, and I love the same, it's using a multi-billion dollar satellite system in space to find Tupperware in the woods. That sounds interesting, doesn't it? Geocachers are huge techies. They love using GPS units, either on their smartphones or on their GPS devices, or nowadays it's on just about everything, including your smartwatches.
So you can use your phone, the GPS on your phone, to help you.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that's the trend nowadays. Instead of spending several hundred dollars on a GPS unit like in the old days, now you get yourself a smartphone and it's already built in. You download an app from geocaching.com and away you go.
Geocaching.com, you just load the app down to the smart. So I'm assuming it's on the Android and the iOS.
Absolutely. You can get the introduction one, which is free. It's kind of limited as far as what you can do, but it's definitely going to get you the taste for going out looking for these geocaches. And if you really want to get involved with it, I think the app itself costs 10 whole dollars. So once you go, you're set and the world opens up for you, literally entire world.
For 10 bucks, you can get a good app, and that's not going to break the bank, hopefully. So tell us, why would I want to do geocaching? Tell me about how I have my phone now, and how do I get started, and tell me about all the fun that you have and the exercise that you get, which is cool.
Absolutely. There's health benefits. They've done a complete study that just came out about that, showing the absolute benefits for people getting out doing geocaching as a health benefit. So you're able to go out, you're doing walking, you're doing outside exercising at the pace that you want to do. There is no rush whatsoever. If you want to go out there and just walk a short amount of distance finding these geocaches, and that's what you're able to do, great, go for it. If you want to rappel off the side of a mountain to go find geocaches, great, go do it. The extremes to the basics is that vague. I mean, you can do as much as you want, how you want, at the pace you want. It's completely family friendly. You can take everybody with you to go out geocaching.
That's important to me. It's family friendly. So if you want to do something interesting with your kids, not only that, they're going to learn a lot about science in terms of the GPS, the coordinates, tracking, how to find things. So there's a lot to that.
Absolutely. You get to learn about space. Matter of fact, speaking of space, an astronaut just came from the International Space Center, spent several months up there with, there is a geocache on the International Space Station.
Are you kidding?
Now granted, not everybody's going to be able to go find this except an astronaut that's qualified to do that.
Wow.
He actually went up there as a science project.
Really?
Did several shows for National Geographic and several of the Learning Channel type shows to show kids how geocaching is in science. And there's actually something what we call a travel bug. They're travelers that go from one geocache to the next, literally can go all around the world. Well, this one went a little further up. He took a bunch of them up to the space station. Wow. And actually showed the kids of it floating in zero G and how everything works. It's awesome. There are geocaches literally on every continent in the United in the entire world. There is literally 2.5 million of these containers.
2.5 million?
Yes, and counting. So there's tons of these things. Matter of fact, where you are in Arizona, probably within a 10-mile radius from where you're at right now, because that right there, there's probably about 1,500 geocaches, and you didn't even know they're there.
Wow. All right. Let me ask you a couple basic questions, and I know they're basic for you, but you know a lot of our people aren't, our viewers aren't familiar with it. But so we're going to go geocaching, and basically you are going to go to some place and look for a geocache. And that could take the form of?
Okay, geocaches range in size. They can be as small as your pinky fingernail to the size of buildings. They literally range that much. Most of them range from what we call micros, which are teeny tiny ones, to regular size, which is about the size of an ammo can. Those are the containers that you're mostly going to find in there with ranges in between. There are extremes, but that's what you're going to normally find. Now, a geocache, the traditional type, requires a logbook inside of them. So the idea is you go to geocaching.com either through the app on your smartphone or on your computer, or, and then take the coordinates of, let's say, for example, for where you are in Arizona, you put your zip code in. It's going to give all the geocaches that are in a radius from where you're at.
So you go to geocaching.com and you pick the area that you want to go to via zip code.
Can be anything, address, whatever you want to do. It's that flexible. Once you get that, it's going to have a list of all the geocaches that are close by to you. Now, each geocache has its own individual page that tells about that particular geocache.
Oh, okay.
Geocachers are extremely creative. They have whole stories behind them. They have different clues in the titles and in the descriptions. There's all sorts of different things that go in there. They also tell you the difficulty that these geocaches
are.
Yeah, now the way this works is it's really simple. There's terrain between 1 and 5. A 1 pretty much means wheelchair accessible. You can just walk right up to it, literally with a wheelchair.
So if you're handicapped, you can still go ahead and partake in this hobby. That's excellent.
Yes, and then a 5 would be something where you actually need some kind of special equipment to get to it. It's okay. that distinct. Now, there's also how well the geocache is hidden between 1 and 5. That's called difficulty. And a difficulty 1 pretty much has a neon arrow says this is where it's at.
I see.
Where a 5, it's so blended into the environment, you almost have to stumble on it to find it. So the camouflage is very, very important for something
like
that.
So I guess that's what keeps it interesting, because some of it can be very easy if you're just starting up. And as you progress and feel more comfortable, the degree of difficulty can increase based on what you select.
Absolutely. And that's what we recommend. If you're just going to start off geocaching, which a lot of people do, one will tell you about how to get in touch with my tutorial show so that you can find out about that. But the main thing that we recommend is that you start looking for the larger sizes, what we refer to smalls or regulars, and the ones with the difficulties of about 2 or less. That way you don't get frustrated trying to find something so difficult that there's no way you're going to have any reference to find
it. Now, what is it that I will find when I finally find the geocache? What could it be?
Now, keep in mind, there's probably about a dozen different types of geocaches, and we'll get over that in all my different videos. The ones that you're talking about are the traditionals. And the traditionals, the main requirement for it is a container of some type and a logbook inside. So when you find it,
I see.
Depending on the size, you sign the logbook that you were there. You're also going to log it on geocaching.com that you found it there, so it keeps record of all the ones that you've done.
That's cool.
If they're larger, they have cool things to bring in a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt with geocaching, and that's called swag. Now, swag is tradable items. Geocachers that put out geocaches have these things. They usually are dollar store type stuff, but in Europe, you can find a Golden Krugerrand.
Really?
There are different levels and whatever what anybody wants to put into them. The idea is simple. You find something in a geocache, you trade for it with something of equal value or better. That way it keeps the geocache filled and you get to trade items. Kids love this. This is absolutely fantastic. The other thing that you can find in geocaches are called travelers. Now, if you see behind me in these display cases, those are all something called geocoins. Okay. Now, geocoins are very, very well-made, heavy-duty coins that have an ID tag on them. And each one's unique. You only get one ID tag per coin. Each one of those.
I did not know that. Where does one obtain a geocaching coin from?
Okay, you can buy them online and find all sorts of different areas to actually purchase them. If you go to a geocaching event, for example, a lot of times they'll have different ones that are for sale. Now, these are my personal collection. These are ones that I keep. The ones that you find out in the geocaches themselves, those belong to somebody else. You can't keep those, but the idea is when you find one, you log it, and then you take it to another geocache, and it goes from geocache to geocache to geocache.
So it also involves a code of ethics, if you will.
Absolutely. And the kicker with that is they can literally go all around the world. Now, there's also something called a travel bug. That can be anything, any inanimate object you can possibly think of, from yes, it goes up to semis, that fit in a geocache. That you can, it has a special tag on it, again with an ID number. There's a special page made for those individually as well, because they all have stories.
Right.
Those go from geocache to geocache. I have one that's called Wolfgang von Pitterpat that I put out for my daughter many, many years ago. It has 80,000 miles on it and it has traveled the north to the South Pole. It has gone all around the world several times, and I think it's still up in Canada from coming down from the Arctic Circle.
And you could track that all, I guess, on geocaching.com,
yes,
right? Isn't that fascinating?
Literally has a map that shows from point to point that it goes. The military actually got involved with it, and
really?
They attempted to try to get it all the way to the Arctic Circle, to the North Pole, and they had to back off because of weather, but it got literally into the Arctic Circle, and they brought it back, took pictures. It's awesome stuff that you can do with geocaching.
That is really, really fascinating. Now, if I wanted to set up a geocache, how would I go about that? Let's say I have one of the coins, or I have a trinket, or whatever it may be, and I put it in a pill case, whatever it may be, how would I go about, or how would one go about planting one somewhere?
Absolutely. Now, the main thing that you have to keep in mind with that, there are rules and there's regulations and guidelines to do all this fun stuff.
Okay.
The main thing is you become a member of geocaching.com. It's free. You can get a premier membership for it, where it gives you some perks that are very beneficial to you, but it doesn't cost you anything beyond that. You can go into it absolutely free. That way you have an account there. Once you do that and you get, we kind of recommend people to get a little bit of experience before they actually place a geocache, so they kind of get an idea what to do. But once you're ready for it, it's very simple. You take a GPS, you go to the spot that you want to put this item. Now, there's things that are required. Like, for example, you need to get permission from the landowner. You can't just plop one someplace. You got to get permission, preferably written permission. You can put these on businesses. You can put this on land, as long as you're not trespassing.
Of course.
Then you're all set, but you got to get permission from the landowner. There are different guidelines that you also have to follow as well, as far as things that are safety concerned. For example, you don't want to put them by schools. You don't want to put it by a government building. You don't want to put it, you got to be within 150 feet from railroad tracks. Yes, absolutely. So there's a lot of things that you want to do for safety reasons for the people coming to find it. And once you do that, you log what you're going to do. You get a description, and you can be as creative with storytelling that you want to do, as why this is here and the backstory behind it. You fill out the difficulty and the terrain that's involved with it and some other criteria to describe, so when a geocacher looks at that page, they know exactly what they're looking for. Now, you don't have to tell what the item is,
right?
But the backstory for it. Once that's done, those coordinates are put into place where you placed it. When that gets approved, it goes live, and then it's up for game for anybody to come and find it.
That's pretty fascinating stuff. It really sounds, you know, what I like about it is it involves a little bit of science, a little bit of mystery, a little bit of history, just all kinds of things. Now, what if I don't know if I like the hobby or not. I like it. It sounds really cool. I'm going to definitely try this. But let's say I only wanted to go, you know, 2 or 3 miles. I didn't want to go 20 miles. I didn't want to spend the day. I wanted a lot, you know, an hour or half hours or any way of qualifying.
Absolutely. Basically, what happens is, especially on your smartphone, this is perfect for that. The geocaching app allows you to do no matter where you are. You can be anywhere. And you click on it and it says, find the nearest geocaches.
Oh, really?
I'm at. It uses the GPS unit and then finds whatever criteria, the different type of geocaches you want to look for. Wherever you're at, it'll give you a list of how many you want to look for. 20, I think, is the first one that starts, and then you can build from there, and away you go. You don't have to go any further than where you're
That's
at.
That's awesome.
Now, yes,
let me ask you a question. When you get to the XY coordinates on the GPS, okay, you know, that could be 2 feet, 3 feet, 4 feet, 5 feet. Are there hints, or how do you know how to pinpoint where that precisely is? Because, you know, as I said, if you get to the XY, it's not going to be sitting there, hey, here I am.
Oh, no, no. You know, it's interesting because a lot of the geocaches go back all the way to literally 2001 or so where they were placed. The GPS units back there were not as accurate as the GPS units that are available now. So the kind of rule of thumb goes like this. If a standard GPS unit is used, or a smartphone, for example, that can technically be off 30 feet. From where those particular coordinates say that there are. The GPS unit that you're using can be off 30 feet. So that means for a total of 60 feet, X does not very rarely mark the spot. So once you get it and it's placed, the game is on for finding it. And geocaching requires some really good logic skills, especially when they start getting more difficult in the difficulty range. Because camouflage is the name of the game.
So you got to do a little bit of snooping and detective work.
Yeah, you kind of learn what we commonly refer to as your geosense. So in other words, there are certain things that you can find when you're out walking in the woods. You don't naturally see in nature sticks all hidden in the same, you know, parallel to each other. So that might give you a clue.
Sure.
Or sometimes there might be a series of rocks that are there, but one of the rocks doesn't look quite right for some reason. It's like, I wonder. There's a lot of that going on, and there are patterns. But the camouflage that gets involved in this, the logic skills that get involved with this, you got to really look. And it takes some time. And sometimes you get that wonderful frustration level where you go, can't find it. Ah, that's it. I give up. I'm going to leave. I can't leave. I got to go back. I got to find it. And you go back and forth several times until the frustration level hits or you find it. And when you do, the satisfaction level is just amazing.
Well, for all those people who want to be detectives or Sherlock Holmes, what a fascinating, interesting hobby. It really is something that I think is totally unique. When you look at hobbies, and I've always been fascinated about different people's types of hobbies, but this one, to me, kind of wraps everything up into one ball, if you will. It's really cool.
Yeah, there's so many things that you can do with geocaching in that particular. We're just scratching the surface of the scratch. And the cool thing is you can get so much into photography. You can get so much into hiking. You can get into so much outdoor stuff. The technology that's involved with it is incredible, depending on how crazy you want to get or obsessed you want to get with it.
Right.
It's that thing. And yet it's so simplistic that you can I just want to get out and just, I had a day at work. I need to break the stress level. I just want to go out and find some geocaches. It's as simple as that. Or if you got the kids with you, they're going crazy. They want something to do.
What a great way to keep them interested and learn. I mean, all the skills you're going to learn, you know, really. So,
yeah, you learn about the outdoors, you know, the good old days, like my dad taught me about the rights and wrongs about what you do out in the woods.
Yeah,
you learn
for sure.
This stuff when you go out with it.
Fascinating hobby. I can't thank you enough. I'm gonna let you go. I know I'm taking a lot out of your time. I appreciate it. I want you to come back. But before I let you go, I want you to tell people how they can reach you and how they can get into the hobby, because I know that you are the guru when it comes to geocaching. And thank you again. So tell us where we can find you. And I just hit the button here. I'm going to put you back full screen. Okay.
No problem. You can contact me by Googling Head Hard Hat, at all one word, Head Hard Hat. And I have several podcasts. I do the Geocaching Podcast on Wednesday nights, and I do the Geo Snippets Reboot Podcast. Both are geocaching related. Those are done on Thursday nights. And you can find me off of my main webpage at www.geosnippets.com. And again, just Google Head Hard Hat. You'll find all the things from my YouTube videos to everything else. If you have any questions, by all means, just go on our website and hit our contact us, and we'll get in touch with whatever answers you need when it comes to geocaching.
Well, thank you so much, Andrew. I appreciate it enormously. It's great seeing you, and we'll be in touch shortly. Thank you so much.
Thank you for everybody. I appreciate it.
Have a good one. Thanks. Bye-bye. Well, there you have it, from the guy who knows literally everything there is to know about geocaching. Again, it would be Andrew Smith. Just look up Geo Snippets. Just Google Andrew Smith geocaching, and you'll find all his URLs, all his websites. And he has a fascinating weekly, sometimes twice a week, show that will get you into this hobby, even if you're an advanced person in geocaching or if you're brand new to it. His shows are very informative and a lot of fun. So that will wrap it up today. For the Gadget Professor, I hope you enjoyed today's show. We'll see everybody next week. So long from the Gadget Professor.
The Gadget Professor is produced by Don Bain.
Multimedia Communications, LLC.
If you would like your product reviewed on the Gadget Professor or would like to appear on the Gadget Professor, contact us via email at thegadgetprofessor@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, guests, call-in listeners, or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. And thank you for watching The Gadget Professor.
NSA,